chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13 again. We're going to confess our sins this morning at the throne of grace. Before we do that, we're going to look to God's Word to exhort us. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. So last week we talked about the phrase in verse 7, bears all things and endures all things. We treated those together since they're largely synonymous. And now today I want to give our attention to the two words, love believes all things and love hopes all things. These are also inseparably tied together. Here we're talking about faith and hope and love and how they're all tied together inseparably in the Christian life. And when we get to the later verses, when it talks about faith, hope, and love abiding, we'll discuss more the relationship between all of those. But for now, let's think about faith and hope. How do these play into our love for God and our love for one another? Now, we've primarily given the application of this chapter to our love for one another in the body of Christ, since that was the occasion of Paul's instructions in chapter 13, dealing with the conflicts that were going on in Corinth and the overemphasis upon spiritual gifts. The people were proud and puffed up, and they were not realizing that love was the primary thing that they needed to give their attention to. And so that's been our application. Now, how does believing all things and hoping all things play into our relationships with one another? What does that mean for me to believe all things for you and hope all things for you? Of course, we know it's not a naive kind of believing anything we hear. It's not a naive Pollyannish kind of hopefulness that is not grounded in truth. If we were to say that we're going to believe everything everybody says and hope despite all the evidence, we know that would be foolish. In fact, Proverbs chapter 14 says that the simple or naive believe every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. So we're not talking about that kind of believing. So what does it mean to believe all things and to hope all things? The question I asked myself as I was looking at this phrase was, what is the object of my faith? And what is the ground or the foundation of my hope? I need to believe all things and hope all things for my brothers and sisters around me. And each of us can struggle to do that, right? When we see our brother or our sister stumble and fall, fail us or disappoint us or sin against God, we can start to despair. We can start to be very concerned and maybe even somewhat hopeless, thinking they're just not going to make it. They're just not going to make it. I don't know that this is going to work out. That's where we can go. That's our temptation. And if all of my faith and all of my hope is in that person at that moment, no wonder I'm despairing. There isn't a lot of reason for confidence in some situations, is there? Not a lot of evidence that suggests that things are going to go very well here. And so we struggle to think, how can I believe and hope all things? This just doesn't look good. So the object of our faith, then, I believe, is not to be my brother who is struggling. It is the Savior who saves my brother and lifts him up. It's not him. I'm not hoping in him at that moment. I'm hoping in God, who will work far above what I can ask or think to help my brother when I can't see how it's going to work out. And I looked through all the references in the New Testament of the word hope, and I thought, is there any example in the New Testament where it says I should hope in that person or hope in something or someone other than God? And the answer was no. I couldn't find a single instance. I found 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, and this clarified things for me. 1 Peter 1, verse 20, it says, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you," speaking of our Lord Jesus. It says, "who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." There's the object of my faith. There is the foundation of my hope. It is not my brothers and sisters themselves. It is God who is in control of this church and who is saving and redeeming all around me, my brothers and sisters. So how do I think charitably about others? How do I hope for them? I set my hope in God. If we put our faith and hope in the person or in an institution, we know that we're going to be let down at some point. We can't really believe always or believe all things about a person or about an institution or about an organization. That's a very shaky foundation to put our faith and hope in. People let us down all the time. Institutions fail, corporations collapse. To put your trust in these things in the ultimate sense is unwise. So this is important as we test ourselves when we become faithless about our brothers and sisters. It is unloving to be faithless and hopeless about your brothers and sisters. And we have to ask ourselves when we come to that point of faithlessness and point of hopelessness, what are we thinking about the people of God, the body of Christ at this moment? Does this church not have a Savior? Do we have a risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ who is in control of this body at this moment in time? Has he departed? Has the Spirit of God just said, "No, we're done with these folks, we'll move on"? What are we thinking about the church at this point? We need to go back to the foundation. This is the body of Christ. This is where Jesus is reigning and he is saving. And this is where the Holy Spirit of God is operating. This is where the Father is protecting and preserving. What are we thinking about the church when we become faithless and hopeless? It seems that we think that there's just no Savior at this point. Or maybe he's just saving us and not saving anybody else. You can be faithless about others. You can be faithless about yourself. That's possible too. But we need to therefore remember that we have a great God who is in control of the body of Christ. And he can do a far better job of keeping the church together than you can. And the foundation of that is God's faithfulness. And the brothers on Friday mornings have been studying Philippians. And we came to verse 6 of chapter 1 where it says, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ." And we observed that the foundation of Paul's confidence was not in them. He was not confident just because the Philippians were really solid people in and of themselves. He was confident because God began the work and God will finish what he starts. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see the very same thing. This is the same letter that chapter 13 appears in chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says this to the Corinthians, who of course were a mess, as we know, just like we're a mess in many ways. He says, "So that you come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So it is the faithfulness of God that gives us confidence for our brothers and sisters, not our brothers and sisters themselves. Now, we may have times where we look at our brothers and sisters and we think, these are trustworthy folks. Of course, because God's worked in them. He's made them very trustworthy people. But the challenging point is when people aren't faithful. What are we going to believe then? Where will our hope be then? And so here's the sum of the matter. When you are faithless and hopeless about your brothers and sisters, it is fundamentally a matter of unbelief in God and what he can do. We don't know what he's going to do for each person. We don't know how He's going to work, but we need to trust in the promises of God. In Romans 14, Paul is exhorting them not to judge one another, not to condemn one another over unessential matters. And he reminds them in Romans 14, verse 4, he says, "Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." That's the promise you have to believe, my friends. You have to believe that your God is powerful enough to make your brother stand when you just don't see how that can happen. So this morning, then, let's confess that when we have been unloving to not believe all things and hope all things, it is a matter of not believing the power of God, the saving work of Jesus Christ, the application of it by the Spirit of God. This is a matter of faith for us and hope for us. Let's go ahead and confess that now. Our Heavenly Father, we confess that we have lacked love, we have lacked faith, and we have lacked hope. We desire that this great triad of faith, hope, and love, which we receive by the work of your Spirit, would be greatly increased among us. We want to, in love, believe all things, to believe always that you are at work amongst us. We want to, in love, hope all things. And we know that we should not put our faith and hope in the wrong things. We want to put our faith and hope in you, the living God, who are at work in the church. We ask that you would forgive us for despairing about one another, for giving up on one another in our minds, not praying for each other when it seems that we need the Lord to intervene to make our brother stand. We ask that you would give us a charitable hoping of all things. Cleanse us of these sins, we pray. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.